The way that I like to think of any social campaign is in terms of a three-letter acronym called AMMO. So I like to imagine you're bringing your ammo to war. That stands for audience, message, and offer. So if you put out an ad that just says, here, hop on the phone, talk to our high-pressure sales rep, no one's going to click on that ad, and it'll just stop showing. So what you have to do is provide something of value.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 126 with LinkedIn marketing specialist, AJ Wilcox.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Hope you're having a great day. I'm your host, JC Preston, and today I'm joined by no other than Harrison Painter. Thank you for listening in. If this is the first time that you are listening in, this is the show where we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you find and execute your own personal mission and live a lifestyle that's proud of. In today's session, we're going to be having a change of pace a little bit. Last one's been with people that have been in the real estate investing world. But today, we're going to be looking at marketing, specifically LinkedIn marketing. In the past, we've had various guests on who have made a living from running Facebook campaigns for various small businesses. Facebook is a great place to run ads if your company is B2C, which if you're not sure what that means, it means business to customer. However, if your business is focused on helping other business owners, then you have what's called a B2B company. Now, many folks who use Facebook to reach people about their profession, they have mixed results. And in fact, many times they might just straight up fail. And the reason why, as you'll hear in today's interview, is because of the nature of both the social platforms. Facebook is more personal, while LinkedIn is definitely for the professional. Today's guest, AJ Wilcox, started his business when he realized that people were struggling to get the leads or number of leads that they wanted. In our conversation today, we talk about how much LinkedIn has changed over the last couple of years and why more and more people are getting into running campaigns on the platform. AJ drops a lot of good nuggets in this one, guys, so make sure that you take notes. Also in the conversation, we talk about the common newbie mistakes that he sees a lot of new people making, his thoughts on how video is changing the platform, and what the future looks like with chatbots on LinkedIn, if that's actually going to be a thing. Speaking of chatbots, if you're already running ads on Facebook for other businesses and want to differentiate yourself from other agencies, then you can do just that by offering chatbot services to them. Or if you're more of a do-it-yourself kind of person, then chatbots are great to know about as they play the role of a marketing assistant. If you're not familiar with the term chatbot, it's basically an assistant program that will allow you to easily communicate with multiple people through Facebook Messenger. You simply set up a series of messages, and based on how the recipient responds to those messages, they will be sorted out in your sales funnel on whether they're hot, warm, or cold. You might be wondering what makes this different from your typical autoresponder. Well, it's simply the fact that chatbots have a much higher response rate. And if this is a subject you'd want to learn more about, feel free to join past guest Hector Santiesteban in his very regular trainings. He seems to have at least one every other day, maybe more frequently, maybe not so much. It kind of depends on the week. But you can figure out when they are going to be by visiting newinceptions.com/Facebook chatbot. Through that, you'll be taken to the Millennial Skills bot and start to get an idea of what chatbots are all about and how powerful they really are. So again, that's newinceptions.com/Facebook chatbot. Okay, so don't forget to subscribe to the show on CastBox, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. Personally, again, I recommend CastBox as it, obviously has the great commenting system that I've referred to again, but I've started to really appreciate the ease of use overall and really the great search capabilities that it has, because I've added at least a handful of podcasts in the last couple of weeks, and it's just so easy to find your podcasts in that app. So again, that's CastBox. Also, big thanks to the anonymous 5-star rating we recently got in iTunes. If you like the show, you know, feel free to give us a rating. Appreciate the rating, but we'd love to see your comments there as well. As usual, show notes and show note extras of this conversation can be found at newinceptions.com/126, and I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, JC Preston, and joining me again in this session is the Mr. Harrison Painter. How you doing, man?
Life is good, brother. Life is good. How are you today?
Doing great. Added a lot of a 4-hour conversation yesterday about some of the things that we're looking excited to do here in Indianapolis and get that launched. And that more news on that will be coming down the pipeline, I'm sure. But in the meantime, we're still looking forward to that location change and with the buildings that we've been involved with and all kinds of secrecy type stuff going on, but it's all good stuff.
But fingers closed, right? So we've got an accepted offer on the building that we're purchasing, and we're just now going through the inspection phase and all the little creepy crawlies that could happen after a purchase agreement is accepted. But we feel really good. The building's in great shape. We think it's going to be smooth sailing from here. To be honest, we only have half the money. So we've still got to go raise the other half, but that's where the 60 days, I think, is a blessing for us to make that happen.
Right. Well, and it also helps that, the former owners, they understand what we're up to, and, that's cool to have someone like that on your side, too. So
absolutely.
Anyway,
so I'm excited about today, man.
Yeah, today's going to be a great talk. Both you and I are really into marketing you more so. I'm more on the product design side. And, to me, when I think of all the different courses that are out there and, the things that are really popular, for the most part, when it comes to marketing, I'm always hearing about Facebook, Instagram, maybe a little bit of Google AdWords and things like this, and to me, it seems to me that those are like the big three. The thing is, though, is that even early on in the beginning of the show, I had at least one guest who was really big into LinkedIn, and she specifically was big into LinkedIn groups. And, LinkedIn has been something that is a lot of people think about because we all have those, our account on LinkedIn. And, today we actually have someone that has made LinkedIn ads his business. He's been, in fact, using LinkedIn ads since 2011. And after starting his business in 2014, has managed hundreds of accounts. In fact, he's spent about 100 million in ads through the platform, which is damn, dude. Today we're talking with AJ Wilcox, founder of B2Linked, which can be found at b2linked.com. AJ, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Dude, doing great, JC. Harrison, great to meet you and excited to be here.
Man, this is awesome. I've built two marketing companies in the past. Both have been acquired at one point, but I can tell you LinkedIn is one platform that I've never honestly mastered. And I'm saying that in public right now. Back in the day, it was all about quantity. Back in 2007, 2008, it was a quantity game, not a quality game. LinkedIn always had this very high barrier of entry to it, right? You had to know the person you were connected to. Today, I think it's kind of softened, right, with the Microsoft acquisition, where it's become a little bit more relaxed. I know guys like Lewis Howes got their start with LinkedIn trainings and things like that. So I'm really excited to dive into your expertise because honestly, LinkedIn is one of my weak spots.
Well, and I think it's a weak spot for a lot of people, especially because the platform has been evolving so much. I mean, if you look back even as recently as just 2013, which in internet years, I guess, is a long time, but realistically, that's not that long ago. LinkedIn was really just a site where you'd come every 6 months to update your resume or if you were looking for a job. And now we're seeing that LinkedIn is a place where people are coming to get content, to actively network, to have conversations and participate. And it's It's been fantastic recently. I'm just seeing this resurgence of the platform, and of course, you know, with ads as well.
Yeah. It's, you know, and it's great news to hear. I mean, and we'll get into, you know, how Microsoft has definitely changed since they acquired it. But before we do, I just want to kind of go into your background a bit. You know, like many entrepreneurs, you were fired, you were let go, and had a somewhat of a realization that, you know, you should eventually start your own business. What were you doing before you got canned, if you don't mind me asking?
Sure, yeah. So I was running all of digital marketing for one of the unicorn startups, you know, a highly funded tech startup here in the state of Utah.
Okay.
And while I was working for them, I discovered LinkedIn ads. I didn't know anything about it before starting. I grew that account to become one of LinkedIn's largest spending accounts on the platform. So I took my licks of, you know, really, you know, kind of skipped past the learning curve there. And, you know, I've always had this little bit of an entrepreneurial itch kind of in the back of my mind. And every time I needed to know how to do something with this LinkedIn ads account, I would Google it. Like, hey, how do you do this with LinkedIn ads? How do you do that? And there was always zero results. There's no one out there talking about it. And so I always kept thinking like, well, hey, maybe that could be me. And then I got canned. And then as soon as I did, I went home to my wife, obviously, let her know that I got let go, which was really tough. We had three kids with one on the way. That's really hard for a breadwinner to admit, carry my box of stuff in. and I told her, I was like, I've got this idea. I kind of want to start an agency or a consultancy that's just around LinkedIn ads, but I don't know if the market's big enough to support our family. And she was like, yeah, I'd still feel better if you went and got some job offers. So I did. I went and got four job offers. Two of them were for way more money than I'd ever made before, and they were looking pretty good. And you know, we're pretty religious people, and so we prayed about it. And I felt like I got the distinct answer that no, turn all of those down. And I was like, okay, so what about this? You know, this idea I've been playing with, and I got the answer that was, you know, pursue it. So 3.5 years ago, we started B2 Linked, me and my wife, and you know, it's been fantastic ever since.
So you have it's another power couple working together. I love it. That's always cool to see. I'm still struggling. It's like, okay, so again, there's so many pieces of information out there. And again, you kind of stumbled into LinkedIn and started Googling it, as you said. When it comes to ads, though, I mean, most people, again, are familiar with having them, again, shown on Facebook, Twitter, Google, Instagram. When you're asked the difference between doing ads on Google and social media, I mean, is there one between the different platforms, and how is it different?
Oh, yeah, some beautiful differences here. I mean, I came from the world of search, which was SEO and Google AdWords and Bing ads, and those are very intent-based platforms, which means someone is typing a term with the intent of coming to find you. And so when you get a lead from something like Google AdWords or from SEO, this is someone who has a need. The timing is right. They're coming to find you, which is really, really great. I mean, they're right there at the bottom of your sales funnel. When you start looking at the lead quality, though, aside from being hot, aside from being these leads that are ready to close tomorrow, you don't have control over who the people are who are doing those searches. And so sales teams will complain about things like, hey, you know, we're talking to the CEO and we're talking to the proverbial janitor and everything in between. Could we, you know, maybe get more of like VPs and above, because maybe we have a more expensive product and we need, you know, a higher buy-off. Well, social media ads really do that. They kind of flip the coin. Now you're targeting specific people by their ability and their interest in purchasing, but you lose that intent. So really powerful for developing really high quality leads that are the right people that will close for, you know, really large amounts, but they won't close as fast as, say, Google AdWords leads.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I'm Google AdWords certified as well and do a lot of different campaigns around that. And I would say it's definitely kind of a Walmart approach, if you will, right? And you're taking a very targeted approach. Now, when doing LinkedIn ads, though, would you say it's only B2B? Are there any B2C opportunities there at all? How does that work?
Yeah, I think there are some limited B2C opportunities, but for the most part, I mean, there are some pros and cons of LinkedIn ads. The pros, you have near 100% reach, especially in the United States, but you know, we're getting some pretty good reach in other parts of the world as well, of specific people by their job title, by their seniority, by groups that they're members of, or their education. The targeting is incredible, and you know that when someone's on LinkedIn, they're thinking about their job or their career. So you're getting them in the right mindset. The big downside to LinkedIn ads has always been the cost. I mean, even from the very beginning, they started with really high costs per click. And so right now, your cost per click on LinkedIn is going to be 2 to probably 5 times what you'd pay on Facebook, for instance. And because of that, you know, because you're going to be putting more money in at the front end, it means you've got to have a larger deal size on the back end to make that investment worthwhile. So business to business is generally a really good fit because, number one, you're targeting people by who they are professionally. And number two, you have these larger deal sizes that make a lot of sense in most cases. For B2C, I mean, if you're selling purses, for instance, you'd eat up your margin pretty quick with, you know, $6 clicks trying to sell them.
Yeah, I you know, and I think that the 2 to 5 time premium is, would you say it's justified? Because when you're on Facebook, people are there to have fun, right? Facebook is a kind of like, I always say it's like your vacation house, right? You do a little bit of business, but it's there to have fun as well. Where LinkedIn, when you go there, you're there to do business typically. Yes?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And couple that with the fact that if you're trying to do business to business on Facebook, I mean, Facebook just recently took away job title targeting and company name targeting away from us. So you really don't have a whole lot of ways to target B2B. There are things like, okay, we'll upload the email list we already have and then target a lookalike version of that in hopes that we'll find people who look like them professionally. You can do things like retargeting and maybe just interests in a subject. So for instance, if you're targeting marketers trying to sell to them, you can do like marketing interests, followers of marketing pages. And that's pretty much what you get. And so if you can imagine this ability to like turn a dial up, if something's working and you want to just crank it up, Facebook, you can probably crank it to a 2 before it just stops working. But LinkedIn, you can literally crank it to 10 and you know still not hit the boundary of everyone in your target market who's eligible or you know who has the right job qualifications to afford or be able to buy your product.
Interesting. One of the things that I have a question about, and I haven't because I haven't really looked at the back end of ads on LinkedIn. I mean, Facebook, you know, they have this huge monster in their business manager now, and it's become really a pain for a lot of people to use to actually put out. I mean, and there's really no, it's a bad UI, and there's really hardly any explanations out there like how to actually use it. And even when you are using it, it's just so clunky. What does LinkedIn got going for it? Is kind of like, is it more like Facebook used to be, or is it more of the huge platform?
Yeah, I totally hear you on Facebook's UI. I call it a Frankenstein product because it started out simple and then they just kept tacking on features, which are great for those power advertisers who want to use all the features. But after a little while, you start confusing the little guy who just wants to hop in and boost a post for something. You know,
exactly.
Something like that. Yeah, LinkedIn is still benefits from being quite simple. It has a simpler structure. So on Facebook, you'll have like a campaign, and then under the campaign, you have an ad set, and then under the ad set, you'll have you know your ads. LinkedIn is just 2 layers. It's directly under the campaign are ads, and so it tends to be a lot simpler. But you know, anyone who jumps into the LinkedIn ads platform is going to be scratching their head a little bit, like, wait, so how do I create an ad? And it could certainly benefit from being a little bit simpler itself.
Gotcha. So if I was thinking, okay, makes sense that I'm the wanting to do B2B and I have these parameters and I do have this big deal that I could offset the price of doing on LinkedIn. Is there anything else that I should be considering as a newbie to LinkedIn ads, or is that pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are great ways to approach it. The way that I like to think of any social campaign is in terms of a three-letter acronym called AMMO. So I like to imagine you're bringing your ammo to war. That stands for audience, message, and offer. So your audience is pretty straightforward. It's who you're targeting. That's the reason you go to LinkedIn, is to take advantage of their premium targeting. And message is it's pretty much how you're showing the ad, what your image is, what your ad copy is. That's usually not too difficult to put together. The really big sticking point is the O, offer. If you can imagine, when you're on social media, you've got some other activity in mind. You're there to connect to someone. You're there to have a conversation, to learn. And so you're not really there to click on ads or talk to new vendors or even seek out new products. And so if you put out an ad that just says, here, hop on the phone, talk to our high-pressure sales rep, no one's going to click on that ad, and it'll just stop showing. So what you have to do is provide something of value. And this isn't unique to social media. You do the same thing on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, but you have to show them something of value. And on LinkedIn, especially because you have those high costs per click to start out with, I can't justify sending them to just a blog post or an infographic with no strong call to action in hopes that I'm building up goodwill. What I've got to do is show them something of value that I'm going to be able to get their email address for. So for instance, give us your email address and in exchange, you'll get this free cheat sheet, or this free, join this free webinar, an ebook, a guide, something like that that is great enough to solve one of their biggest pain points or satisfy one of their biggest curiosities. That's usually what it takes to run a successful social campaign.
So let me ask this. So it's a bit expensive to get started in LinkedIn. So what should somebody new keep in mind? Somebody new really budget out to put into LinkedIn ads to actually move the needle, without spending too little and just fail.
Oh, I love this question. We've worked with a lot of really small accounts and then quite a few of LinkedIn's largest ones. And I feel like we have a really good feel for this. So what we've found is if you spend somewhere between about $3,000 and $5,000, during the course of that spend, whether that's over a period of 2 days or 6 months, that's going to be enough data for you to be able to have statistical significance between two separate elements of an A/B test. So I really like to tell people, if you're going to be testing out LinkedIn ads, make sure you spend somewhere between $3,000 and $5,000. By the end of that period, you'll be able to know, maybe it's two different offers. You're doing a webinar versus a cheat sheet or something. You'll know with statistical significance to a 95% confidence interval, getting a little bit geeky, but you'll know which one converts at a higher rate and what its approximate cost per conversion is going to be for the future. So that's a great point to get to. What I've found, though, is if you start out spending too slowly, let's say you're going to say, we're taking this slow, we'll spend maybe $1,000 a month for a few months. We've seen a lot of business owners who will say, hey, I remember a couple months ago, we started trying out that LinkedIn ads thing. I haven't seen a whole lot of leads come through, so I'm just going to assume that it's not working. And that's what we don't want to do. You want to make sure that you're patient, you actually gather that data before you make the call to shut it off. Just the sign of not seeing it make a dent in your leads yet is probably more of an issue of volume than it is. It's just not working.
Great advice. I see too many people just try to throw $500 at something, and then they say, oh, that didn't work. right. We see that all the time, and even with direct mail, like something as archaic as direct mail, I've seen people put together a 1 month mailer and then complain that it didn't work. So I think that's great advice. So you're saying $3,000 to $6,000, anywhere from a few months to up to as long as 6 months. Yes.
Yep, as long as you're patient and you're actually going to spend that much money before you decide whether or not it's working, I think it's a great test. You'll have statistical significance.
Now, let's talk about the evolution of the LinkedIn platform. When I saw it, I think it's been about, 2 years now when Microsoft actually acquired LinkedIn. When I saw that, I honestly thought LinkedIn was going to slowly fade away. Right? And I think a lot of people in our world did as well. But actually, like you said, there's been a resurgence. Things have actually moved forward. Things have gotten better. Can you talk a little bit about the evolution of where LinkedIn was and where it is today and why people should be involved in LinkedIn?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, back in 2013, it was really a place that you'd only show up every 6 months to update a resume or look for a job. And so there just wasn't much of a reason to come on unless you were going to build your Rolodex for the future of just contacts, me, myself included. And then in 2013, they acquired a news network called Pulse, and then they implemented the user feed or the news feed that we're so used to seeing now. And what was so interesting is there was so little going on in the news feed because people weren't used to coming to LinkedIn for as a destination. It would just be, you know, something they would just kind of pop in, pop out. And so LinkedIn was like, well, what can we populate the feed with? And so you'd start seeing things like so-and-so's birthday or so-and-so's work anniversary or things like that. And then they took it a step further and said, how about anytime someone likes, comments, or shares someone else's post, then let's reshare that to their network. And so in Twitter parlance, it would be like if every social action, like a favorite, was a retweet. And that was how they kind of filled up the feed. And because of that, even to this day, LinkedIn is by far the easiest channel to go viral on, because you share something that makes people want to like or comment, and it goes out to your network's network, and then your network's network's network. And so even here in, I would say especially in the last year, we've seen a lot of people understand this fact. People like Gary Vaynerchuk who said, wow, I'm amazed. Every time I post something on LinkedIn, I get more views than when I post it on Facebook. So I'm going to be spending a lot more time here. And because people are seeing a lot of great results, more and more people are coming to LinkedIn. They're sharing more. They're spending time here. It makes it more of a destination for everyone. And now I just get so many more leads from people all the time saying, I'm having so much success organically on LinkedIn. Now I want to try ads because I know my people are there.
Right, right. Well, and that brings up a big point and why, you know, like I said, I've known people that have had great success with doing LinkedIn groups. And one of the reasons why is that, you know, LinkedIn has that that digest that based on the group that you're in, you'll get an email, or at least you used to, of what was going on in that group on a regular basis. And people were able to grow their groups organically. And it was just a really awesome tool that, you know, I'd never really heard of, because I don't, you know, again, don't know that many people doing LinkedIn stuff. But yeah, I mean, it just seems like the wild, wild west of organic growth is still going on over in LinkedIn.
Yeah. And then a note on groups. Groups have been kind of plagued with a spam issue for the last, I don't know, I'd probably call it year, maybe 2 years.
Really?
Yeah, where it's really difficult right now to find a group where there's actual conversation going on and not just people coming in like dropping their, you know, links to blog posts they've written and then leaving. I'm a member of 10 groups, and there are three I know of that have really good conversation that I pay attention to. But LinkedIn knows this, and so they're in the process of revamping groups. I'm really hoping that under the new Microsoft partnership there, that there are some new ideas coming that are really going to revitalize groups, because just like you said, they were really, really powerful to start out with. And I would love it if they were a lot less easy to spam and there's a lot more conversation going on.
And LinkedIn recently added video to the mix. I'm a firm believer video leads follows. Can you talk a little bit about what video means to the platform, to the people using it, and can you integrate videos into the ads that you're putting together?
Yeah, so probably 6 months ago, we got video on the platform, and it was really great. I mean, this shows LinkedIn catching up to the other platforms, because especially, you know, Facebook and Twitter, we've had video for quite a while, and we have live video. LinkedIn doesn't even have that yet, but we know that's probably on the horizon since they're playing catch up. Video is so powerful because, on the one hand, for a direct response marketer like myself, I look at video and go, it's really hard to sell something, like to give a strong call to action from a video and, you know, have it be that impactful. But what it is so good for is telling a story and maybe skipping some of the steps in the sales process. For instance, you know, how many white papers of mine would you have to read before you felt like you knew me and you could like me and trust me? versus a video, if I'm talking to you, at, you know, 2-3 minutes of me sharing something, you might develop that know, like, and trust factor. So video is so powerful that way. And then just about a month ago, we got video ads on LinkedIn. And I was really excited for this because video has been so successful for us and for many of our clients and my friends on Facebook. But to give you an idea, on Facebook, even after it's become a lot more competitive, you're still going to pay somewhere between 1 to 2 cents per video view, per 3-second view. Mm. And LinkedIn, even just starting out, mm-hmm. we're seeing numbers looking between about 6 cents to 14 cents per 3-second view. So again, orders of magnitude more expensive than Facebook. But if you have a solid video strategy and you're obviously walking someone towards a much larger purchase, a much more involved purchase, it's probably going to make sense. I just wish the pricing were lower.
Well, and, you know, to me, it's just amazing how, like, I recently, it, you know, you said it was around, it's been around for 6 months, but again, it not being my main platform, the different times that I've popped over there, it was fairly recent that I saw the video and I was just like, huh, that's awesome. Good job, LinkedIn. So yeah, it's, again, it's good to see that they're coming up with the rest of the social media platform.
Yeah, and it sure makes the feed a lot more interesting to look at. And for those of you who might not know, it's just like on Facebook where they start auto-playing when you're looking at them, but they play without sound. And so they wait for you to interact with the video before they start playing sound. So you don't have to worry about being at work and having your coworkers catch you watching something.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit about metrics. As somebody getting involved in LinkedIn marketing, there's a lot of marketing. I struggle with my a lot of my peers out there. You know, they push these agendas of likes and shares and all those things. But you know, we know at the end of the day, there's certain metrics that really matter. So if I'm on LinkedIn, what are some of the metrics when you're doing some of these ad spots that truly matter to somebody that's running a campaign?
I mean, I think ultimately it comes down to a return on investment. But as you know, business to business, we have these long lead cycles, and we have so much of the nurture and sales process is done offline. So you can't fire a pixel and just have it tell your ads that they're doing great or not. So because of that, the majority of our clients will track down to a cost per some kind of qualified lead. So if you can imagine in the standard sales process, you'll have an initial form fill, and you might call that a lead, but then a salesperson reaches out and maybe qualifies them, and then they get a proposal, and then they decide if they're going to buy or not. If you're tracking just to the initial form fill, of course LinkedIn is going to have a higher cost per form fill, a cost per conversion, just because your initial click was higher. But if you're tracking all the way down to a cost per qualified lead or a cost per sale, if you can track that far, that's where the magic happens, because the leads that you get from LinkedIn are of so much higher quality, and they're the people who make the buying decisions are the ones who own the wallets. And generally, you'll surpass Facebook or any other channel on a cost per qualified lead basis at that point. Of course, search channels like AdWords, they're always going to have faster funnel acceleration. So you'll have deals that close faster, but LinkedIn's going to close the largest deals, the ones that you're super proud to post those logos on your website.
Well, yeah, and again, just like any other marketing thing, I mean, there's just so much information that's available to you, and you know, sometimes you can. I would hope that for the most part, you would read it correctly and see that you know things are going the way that you do. But you know, when I was going learning things on Facebook ads myself, there was a lot of times where I was just you know spending money to learn. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see a lot of newbies making when they're doing starting marketing on LinkedIn?
Oh, this is a perfect question. I see with certain accounts that I can tell someone just getting started that they are doing things like combining audience segments into one campaign. So, for instance, someone might say, "Well, I know that marketers are the ones feeling the pain that I'm selling software to, but I also know that the CEO is probably going to have to sign off on this, and the CFO it's probably going to come across his desk. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to create a campaign that targets all the marketing job titles, and then it's also going to include the CEO and the CFO. And what happens is you put that ad out there, and let's say it performs below standard, like below average. what can you do to improve that? Well, you have no idea because all you have is one number. There's nothing to compare it against. But if you were to take that same group and maybe break that up into three separate campaigns, mm-hmm. so you have a marketer's campaign, a CFO, and a CEO campaign targeting the same types of companies, now what you'll find is, wow, the marketers are really engaging. We have a low cost per lead. We're actually doing great there. For some reason, CFOs don't want to click our ads. I wonder why. And then CEOs, same deal. Like they're too busy and they don't care about marketing software. And so what you find out if you've split them up is that one of your audiences is performing great and you should keep doing it. And your other audiences that may be supporters in a decision probably aren't worth going after, at least at this stage.
Gotcha. And again, on the Facebook side, there's the advanced editor that you can use to split up all those different kinds of campaigns. Is there something similar on the LinkedIn side that, you can, again, not only by CFO and CEO, but again, the marketers, but ages and sex and all these other things, are those options available in there as well?
They are, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, the whole beauty behind LinkedIn ads is the crazy targeting you get. You probably have 30 or 40 different facets that you can look at people by. A lot of them are explicit things, like they've said in their profile, this is my job title, or this is the company I work at. Mm-hmm. And then you have some inferred things, like how long that person's been in the workforce, what their age is, their sex is. But right. Yeah, all of that same types of stuff, it's just all professional.
Gotcha.
So you can break those up into really small micro segments if you want.
Gotcha.
So earlier in the podcast, it's funny how we talk in this world, 2013, so long ago, right? but where do you see the future of marketing, especially digital marketing, the future of LinkedIn? What are some trends that you feel are on the horizon? And where could this be in the next, I don't want to say 5 years, right? But the next 12 to 24 months?
Yeah, I think the future has to be these technology advancements and integrations. For instance, LinkedIn has these things called lead gen forms. And basically what it is you interact with an ad, and then there's a little drop down, a drawer that rolls down and then has a form directly inside. And so what they're saying is you can bypass the landing page entirely, just fill out this form right here. There's very little friction. It's still on LinkedIn, so you trust it, and then you can download that piece of content or you can submit that lead right here. And that sounds amazing, but the problem is on the back end, the integrations are horrendous. It takes forever to set up. A lot of times it's difficult to make sure that you're actually getting those leads in a timely manner or that you can send out emails quickly. So integrating with other platforms to make stuff like that happen, making sure that your mobile experience is great. So obviously, in social media, probably 80% or more of our traffic is going to come from mobile. So making sure that if we are sending them to landing pages, they are designed with mobile first in mind rather than desktop first, mobile second. I think that's probably where we need to go, is the targeting's there. We as marketers need to adapt and solve the problems of our clientele, obviously. But I think the technology needs to catch up to make us better marketers and empower us to follow up faster and keep track better.
Well, and that kind of brings up an interesting thought that I was thinking is like, Facebook, they have more than one app. They also have Messenger. And one of the things that I've seen taking off quite recently, and this actually got, Mark went in front of the Congress, there was a little bit of talk about the apps and things and how they take certain pieces of information from the different users. And for a while, they put certain things on hold, including Messenger bots. Now, I got a question. Do you see that LinkedIn is starting to lean more towards maybe general AI, but, chatbots, for example, as something that they would be using on their site? Do you think that they would ever consider doing a Messenger-like program over there? Or what you see is what you get, sort of?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they'll get there. The difference is that Facebook was really a land grab. They were the first ones to get there. They were looking to amass as much data about people as they possibly could, even to the point of getting pretty aggressive. LinkedIn hasn't been nearly that aggressive. They are the sole owners of your professional life, and they take that very seriously, and they feel like that's enough data. So they keep giving us new targeting facets for advertising, but they haven't stretched really hard to go out and try to pull in more data sources that could be viewed as aggressive or be viewed as, I guess, creepy. I think in the future, they'll probably catch up. We'll probably have things like chatbots, but I don't see them doing the same kind of aggressive overreach that Facebook kind of
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was just, you know, again, with all the different changes that are going on with LinkedIn, you never know. I know it's just big old bad Microsoft. You know, I'm one of those Mac users that is just the big evil company. So,
What's been so interesting about that the whole Microsoft purchase is that Microsoft came in when they bought them and really said, "We like your culture. We like your direction. We're going to be pretty hands off. Like Jeff Weiner, you keep running it exactly the way that you want. We're just going to be kind of silent partners here and available for things like data integrations and extra help and some vision." So since that the purchase happened, we haven't seen a whole lot happen with the platform. We've seen a redesign that was probably started, you know, long before the Microsoft merger happened. We've seen some improvements happen to the ad platform, but I think if Microsoft is going to actually enact change on LinkedIn in ways that they weren't already planning, I think we're going to start seeing that in the next maybe year, 2 years, just because we're talking about two very slow moving organizations. Realistically, I think what we're seeing is these platforms understanding the value of the information they have and saying, okay, we need to accelerate growth and development here to catch up and, you know, kind of take the crown that we're entitled to.
So they specialize with corporate and they move like corporate.
That's exactly right.
So what do you think about the future of artificial intelligence? You know, I've been saying for a long time that what could take Google down is the fact that the future will see products and services finding us instead of them looking for them, right? I think once we get through this privacy issue and people get more comfortable, look, the problem I have with the whole Zuck and the Facebook and all these issues that have popped up recently is they're just using the data that people are freely giving them.
Yeah,
and then right. We're getting upset about it, right?
Well, and that's just the thing is that what is back in 2007, I knew what I was getting into. That's why I started creating all my friend, you know, the list back then, because I didn't want certain groups of people to see certain things, let alone the fact that I have what I put up pictures about parties in the first place. No, but people, yeah, you know, they just have no problem just throwing up their entire life on there.
No problem. And then we're fascinated with things like Alexa and Siri. And if you truly want Alexa to kind of run your life, if you will, or at least be a true assistant, AI is going to have to take control of that, and you're going to have to give all that information over. Now, I'm a big fan of it. I see the future being that. But how long do you think it's going to take to break some of these barriers that we're currently facing when it comes to privacy issues?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I think LinkedIn, as an organization, they tend to err very strongly on the side of privacy for the member. So I don't think I would venture to guess that we're probably not ever going to see a time where LinkedIn says, okay, we're going to give all of this information over to any other party. If it's AI, it will be a LinkedIn-owned AI, and it will probably stick pretty close to your professional life. So it'll never know when you need new coffee filters, for instance. But it may know like when you need to you have a meeting with these three people and you're not already connected to them on LinkedIn. Like maybe you should be connected to them, or maybe it's managing your schedule and calendar. So I hope I'm not thinking too myopically about this, but I think it's going to be still very much like your professional life and staying away from your personal life.
Yeah, no, I agree with that as well. Let's switch gears a little bit here. So you even brought up earlier that when, you know what, before we switch gears, we do need to talk a little bit about B2Linked. So if I'm looking to run LinkedIn ads, if I'm looking to actually hire you to do that, can you share a little bit about the experience of working with you and
be. Oh, absolutely. And in fact, I'll share, if you're looking to do LinkedIn ads, there are two ways you could go. You could either take a stab at it yourself or hire an agency like ours. If you do want to take a stab at it yourself, we created a checklist, and it's the same checklist we use to onboard new customers. This is essentially the 8 things that you need in order to start advertising on LinkedIn. So if that's something that you're interested in, go to b2linked.com/checklist. That's the letter B, the number 2, and then the word linked.com/checklist. And you can download exactly the same process that we use. Of course, you know, you take a stab at it yourself. You realize that the clicks are pretty expensive, and so you're going to have a learning curve. The mistakes will probably be a little bit expensive, but there's absolutely nothing stopping you from taking a stab at it yourself. And in fact, I would cheer you on because I'm a self-starter as well. But if you do feel like it's something that you want to have an ad agency help you out with, like us, I would love to chat with you. The way that it works is we'll give you this checklist. It's things like get us access to your LinkedIn company page, because that's where the ads run off of. We either create an account for you or you give us access to your ads account. Things like access to Google Analytics and the audience you want to go after and the types of messaging and your landing pages. Once we have those things, within 2 business days, we've got you up and running, and we're going to do things like A/B test every single ad creative to help you learn about what works and what doesn't. We track every single ad down to a geeky level where we can tell you a result came from this image and this headline combination, and then of course we report back. So that's kind of what it's like working with us. It's like the Ferrari version of advertising on LinkedIn.
I love it. I love it. And I do want to touch on a topic that you briefly touched on earlier. When you talked about moving from the job to starting your own business, you prayed on it. We're faith-based, and I really believe that we're seeing kind of a shift right now. Now, I was raised in an environment where you never talked politics or religion. So could you share a little bit about maybe just a brief thing on your faith and how you actually incorporate that in your business and how you create some balance within that?
Yeah, sure thing. I mean, I realize that I try not to bring up religion whenever I can, but it's really hard to not share the story of, like, I'll be honest, I am not an entrepreneur. The thought of starting a business totally scared me to death. I would not have done it if I didn't feel like it was an answer to prayer. And so I feel like I'd be betraying my faith by not sharing that. So I live in the state of Utah. I'm a Mormon. Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is another name for that. I've been a member of the church my whole life. And I feel like Heavenly Father is someone who loves us and wants us to be successful. And we can be better stewards of what He's given us by starting businesses, by being fruitful, by being successful. And so what I've seen personally in starting my business, I've gotten to the point where, financially, I'm able to do things like give help to people that I wouldn't have been able to be in a position to give in other ways. So I feel like it's a ministry. It's, ways of benefiting humankind. And so I try to exude that both professionally and personally now.
Great.
Love it. I love it.
Living in a world of abundance. Love it. Kind of getting towards the end of the conversation here. What are some of the things that you're excited about in the not too distant future?
Well, for us, we've built some tools to help us manage LinkedIn ads campaigns a little bit more efficiently. I know we talked about how LinkedIn is a little bit more nascent of a platform, and so it's lacking things like bulk features, ways to manage large accounts. And so we've built some of our own tools, and that's something I've been really excited about recently, is just the ability for our team to do things in larger quantity and faster and better. And so anyway, personally for my business, that's been really exciting for me.
Cool.
Look, we're all becoming technology companies one way or another, right?
That's exactly right.
Huh. Well, SaaS is where it's at. Just ask LinkedIn. So the next segment is the favorite rapid fire question segment. First question, what are your top three favorite books that you'd like to tell others about?
I'll be honest, I'm a pretty poor reader. Reading takes just so much out of my brain, and it's really uncomfortable. So because of that, I do a lot of audiobooks and podcasts. I'm a huge podcast fan. Yeah, I'll share with you kind of an eclectic range of my favorite podcasts. So number one, and I know you guys listen to this one, The Jordan Harbinger Show, Jordan Harbinger, formerly Art of Charm. He talks about how to become a better person, like a better communicator. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love that from mm-hmm. a personal development side. From just kind of a geeky side interest side, there's a podcast called The Bad Crypto Podcast that's all about cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. And that one gets me really excited for some reason. And then from a marketing perspective, the social media marketing podcast is put on by Social Media Examiner. That's one that I just every single episode I've got to listen to.
That's a classic one right there. And Harris and I will be talking to Jordan come August, actually. So yeah, it'll be a good conversation for sure.
Yeah, I actually got to meet him at Social Media Marketing World. We got to hang out a little bit and just a really, really good guy. And I'm excited about his new podcast. I hope it's 10 times more, more effective than his last one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If LinkedIn wasn't a thing, what would you be doing?
Oh, man. I'll be honest. I love digital marketing. I've been involved in it for the last 11 years, and I've really fallen in love with business to business. So I think if LinkedIn weren't a thing, I still would want to be all about business to business and marketing and advertising. So I think what we would be is just an ad agency for B2B where we used search and social. So it'd probably be really heavy in AdWords, Bing ads, and really heavy in Facebook ads, trying to use it for however you can for B2B. And then probably using technologies like Terminus for account-based marketing and Bizible for attribution. So I think that's probably what we'd be. But as for right now, I'm really glad that LinkedIn exists because it's been a great place to plant my flag.
Cool. Going back to the whole mindset thing, what do you think is something that all high school students must know?
As a high school student, I really wish someone would have not just told me, because I don't think I would have understood, but like explained and made sure that it sunk in. In high school, I had this idea that you're in a track and you're given things at the time that you're ready for them. So you graduate and then you go to college and then you pick a major, and then after you graduate, you go and get your job. And what I didn't know is that you can actually accelerate that path. You can still do whatever you want. And I have so much respect. I've got a neighbor who he just like as a 15-year-old kid went, holy crap, I love math and I love programming. And then he just started programming robots and Raspberry Pis. And like, I know by the time he graduates college, he's going to have 6 years of experience doing programming, when all of his other competition, I guess his classmates, will have mm-hmm. zero experience. And so he'll just be so much further ahead as a young person. And all of this information out there is free. Anyone can do it if they just have the drive. So I wish high school students right now could understand, don't wait for your teachers or the process to tell you when to take something on. You take it on when you're hungry and figure out what you want to learn now. And don't let adults tell you you're not ready yet, because the information's free and you can do anything.
Sounds like you want to teach them more along the lines of not necessarily what to think, but how to think.
Yeah, and I think we all are attracted to certain things. So obviously I really love marketing and I really love technology. But if someone's not into that, great. If you're attracted to fashion, go do that. Like, just don't wait. Your level of inexperience right now is something you can scrub away very quickly. And I think we're going to get to a point here with the gig economy where your age doesn't matter and it's what your output is. And a 17-year-old kid who's still in high school, if they can put out the same thing that a 45-year-old, person who's been in IT for the last 20 years can do, great. Like, we're going to see really big stuff happening.
Name one thing that costs under $100 that has changed your life.
Let me think about this one for a minute. let's see. Okay, I've got it. I got a game for the computer called Rocksmith, and it's where you plug an electric guitar in to the computer, and you can play along to songs that you're used to hearing on the radio. It's like, yes, finally. I mean, I played Rock Band or whatever, where you're just playing a guitar with plastic buttons.
Buttons, and, right? Yeah. Because that was always, you know, had gone to school and listening to music or playing music as I was going through school. You know, I knew how to play musical instruments the name escapes me as well. But those types of games, it was all about pushing the buttons on time and just, you know, timing and all that. It wasn't actually teaching you how to play a guitar. So that sounds awesome.
Yeah, and it was only $40. I had a guitar because I've always really wanted to learn how to play, but never could sit down and just teach myself with tabs. So obviously not professionally related. This is a side interest. But now I'm actually learning how to play the guitar and really, really enjoying it.
That I'm going to have to look into that. What was that called again?
Rocksmith.
Cool. Last question. What's the secret to achieving personal freedom?
I think personal freedom is all about, it has to be letting go of fear. I was very, very afraid when I was starting my business because I just had no idea if I could support my family. But after I got to the point where the business was doing okay and I could kind of breathe a sigh of relief, like financially, I don't have to be worried anymore. That fear went away, and then my horizons opened up to a point where now I understand how valuable time is and where to invest that time for the greatest return, either on my happiness or on finances. So I think you get rid of that fear and your world opens up.
Great. I love that. Well, AJ, thank you so much for spending some time with us today, man. Learned a lot more than I definitely knew. And I think Harrison got a lot out of
it.
Man,
I'm jumping back on LinkedIn. I tell you that.
Beautiful. Grab my checklist. Go jump in, start running some ads.
Yeah, for sure. So people can find you again at b2linked.com. And if they want to reach out to you on social media, what's the best way of doing that?
So social media, it's got to be Twitter. WilcoxAJ is my handle, and I tend to respond really quickly. Also, if anyone fills out the form there on b2linked.com, you should know we have a small team, and so it's me who fields all the emails, and I never sell. Like, you won't get a sales pitch from me. So don't be afraid to reach out. And you know, let me know any question you have about LinkedIn ads. I'm super happy to answer.
Awesome. Well, again, AJ, thank you so much. And yeah, it was great.
JC Harrison, so great to chat with you. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Thank you, sir.
All right, so there you have it. A big thank you to AJ and coming on to share his wealth of knowledge. If you find yourself thinking about running a campaign on LinkedIn yourself, make sure you grab that checklist that he was talking about. Don't forget, if you want to take this conversation to the next level, head on over to the show notes. There you'll find links to things we discussed today, as well as the show note extras. Show note extras for this session include 4 training videos from AJ via Market Campus on YouTube. The first one is a walkthrough of the ultimate LinkedIn checklist for us more visual learners. And then the next one is all about the do's and don'ts of LinkedIn advertising. The third video is one where he talks about the difference between search ads and social ads. And then the last one is about how to structure your social ads, whether you're on LinkedIn, Facebook, or wherever you want to run your campaigns. So guys, that's it for session 126. On the next one, Harris and I will be talking with a young entrepreneur by the name of Chris Schwab. Chris is a citizen of the world, or as many refer to folks like him, a digital nomad. We've had several of them on the show, but I really thought that Chris's mission is a little bit unique. You know, at one point he owned and ran a local cleaning business. And as you'd probably guess, you know, it took him a ton of time to manage that business. And eventually, though, he learned how to free himself up of the daily routine. Today, he helps small local businesses free up time by giving them virtual assistance in their daily activities. Great conversation if you want to explore how you might be able to systemize your business a bit and you know, hand over the reins to someone so that you can achieve more yourself. So that's it for session 126. Don't forget to get started on your chatbot training by going to newinceptions.com/Facebook chatbot. That being said, thanks for joining Harrison, AJ, and me today. And until next session, gang, dig in, have fun. and to take care in whatever you're creating. We'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter at newinceptions, Instagram at new.inceptions, and on the web at newinceptions.com.